the Dow hits a record high.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. It is the fifth day of March, a Tuesday, and a historic day on Wall Street because the Dow has reached a record high. For more, we're joined by Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Chris, I think that some people in America would be a little bit surprised, given the state of the economy right now, that we're hitting a new record for the Dow.
Yeah, I think they might be. But look, it is consistent with what we're seeing in the broad economy in this sense. The recession ended in 2009. GDP has generally been growing. We do have a new high level of economic activity. You know, the problem is that it's just not keeping up with population growth, and that's why the unemployment rate is still so high.
And some people are being left behind still. Well, is there a concern about a bubble? Because the last two times that the Dow was at this level, we look back now and we say that was a bubble, the tech bubble and the housing bubble.
Well, yeah, I think there is some concern that maybe it's not fundamentals that are driving this gain. When you look back over the past year, revenue growth has been very sluggish. Earnings are doing better than revenue, and that's because companies are, you know, that they're not hiring. They're saving money where they can. They're pinching pennies. And the other thing that's driving this gain is that 300 of the companies in the S&P 500 are currently buying back their own stock. So there's not as many shares to go around as there were a year ago.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we are now several days into the sequester, which cuts $85 billion from the federal budget this year, half of that from the defense budget. That is bad news for the state of Virginia, which is home to the Pentagon and much of the military-industrial complex. The state's Republican Governor Bob McDonnell joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so what's the impact of the sequester so far in Virginia? Are you seeing anything already?
Well, this is going to be a slow ramp up of the impacts in Virginia, although since we've already cut $487 billion out of the defense budget over the last couple of years, we've already seen a dip in our sales tax revenue from the defense procurement areas of the state because we know the contractors are doing a little bit less business. My biggest concern, of course, the impact on our men and women in uniform, particularly with a lot of Virginia kids right now in Iraq. When you cut $1 trillion over 10 years, you know you're going to have some impacts in readiness, and for us, it's jobs.
Well, is there anything you as a governor can do to kind of mitigate some of the impact of these cuts?
Well, we know the cuts have to be made, first of all, and I'm a strong supporter of reducing federal spending. Our country is in deep financial trouble, $17 trillion in debt. President has racked up $6 trillion in new debt over the last 4 years. So we fully understand that the cuts have to be made. Our only contention is don't put half of it on defense, which is what they've done. In a time of war, to have one half of the total cuts on defense is irresponsible. You got to bring in entitlement reform in order to get that done. So I think we're as ready as we can be, but if it goes into full-scale implementation, it's going to be tough for my state.
Well, but when the governor of Virginia says, make cuts, just don't cut defense, it's kind of like just saying, yeah, make cuts, just don't cut my money.
Well, I'm not saying don't cut defense. I'm saying take it. Balanced cutting approach. First of all, it's got to be cuts, not tax raises. Everybody understood that sequester was about $1.2 trillion in cuts. So with the president running around saying that we need to increase taxes is absolutely the wrong approach. Secondly, it's not just Virginia, but it's a number of other states that get especially hard hit because of our longstanding support of the defense industry. So I'm saying defense has got to take its share, but don't make it 50%.
Well, it sounds like you're blaming the president. You've mentioned him several times. Do you blame members of your own party as well, many of whom voted for this thing?
Well, I'd say it's a bipartisan failure, the fact that for 18 months we haven't been able to resolve the sequester. I mean, this was supposed to be a hammer on both sides to get a deal and not a policy.
One more thing, Governor. You're from a pretty unique state that limits its chief executive, that would be you, to 1 4-year term. And I wonder, do you think that something like that would help in Washington to sort of remove some of the politics?
Well, there's no way to take politics out of these decisions. what we've tried to do here in Virginia is, sure, we've got political differences, but we try to also solve problems, get things done, don't assign blame, don't make excuses, find ways to get solutions. We did it this year on transportation, education, the budget, and other areas. And I think what we need is leadership. I'm not really concerned about the terms. I think people ought to be able to reelect people they think are doing a good job.
Governor Bob McDonnell, Republican of Virginia, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Hey, glad to be on. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
This week, public transit riders in New York City face their fourth fare hike in 5 years. And now, for the first time, riders will have to pay a dollar surcharge if they don't hold on to their Metro card. From the Transportation Nation Project at WNYC, Jim O'Grady reports.
Every 6 weeks, Rich and Jean Wasicki come to New York from Buffalo to visit their son, a student at Fordham University. Each time, they buy a Metro card and, after using it, throw the card away. That will now cost them a dollar per card.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Wasicki says it's a lot to ask a Buffalo guy to keep track of his New York City Metro card. But the New York MTA says it costs $10 million a year to produce those cards. Plus, there's the extra cost of cleaning up cards that riders toss on the ground. Gene Wasicki says, yeah, but the MTA profits from some of those discarded cards.
Half the time we put dollars as out-of-towners on that card that we ultimately don't end up using, and so those are dollars that the MTA has in its pocket.
Riders do leave about $50 million unredeemed dollars on Metro cards each year, but the MTA says that's not extra revenue. It costs the authority the same amount of money to run subway trains on a schedule, whether Wasicki uses all the value on her Metro card or not. Naomi Rosenberg rides the one train to work every day. She wonders why New York can't get rid of the Metro card for something more convenient, like the transit card used in Chicago, where her mom lives.
My mom has a plastic credit card. It's basically connected to her credit card, her transit card.
Her mom's transit card draws money directly from her bank account and refills automatically.
You don't have to keep track of old cards. They're not paper. It's plastic.
The New York plan was to swap out its Metro card last year for a bank card with a computer chip that would let riders pay their fare, but not enough banks signed up, and the program collapsed. The New York MTA is now building its own transit card. The new technology must be ready by 2019, which is around the time the Metro card turnstiles and vending machines are expected to wear out. For now, the authority expects to collect $20 million a year from the new MetroCard replacement fee, a dollar at a time. In New York, I'm Jim O'Grady for Marketplace.
And finally, what is it that we love so much about lists? Just look at what's trending today on the popular website BuzzFeed, which calls itself the home of the hottest, most social content on the web. 21 classic quotes reimagined for the millennial generation. 10 things you won't believe actually exists. 14 higher-grossing films than The Hobbit, and 20 animals made out of their own names. I don't even know what that means. But in fairness, it is not all lists on BuzzFeed. There is also a story today about Justin Bieber getting booed in London. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.